Good afternoon. It's great to be out here this afternoon. Appreciate everyone's attendance. If you would open your psalm book, I'm used to be up here for singing. Open your Bibles to Psalms 27. Psalms 27 and verse 4. Today we're going to be talking about a phrase we often use in order to put emphasis on what we're trying to say. Sometimes parents will say to their children, you know, if you want to go outside and play, there's one thing you must do before you do so. We hear oftentimes, I want you to go to the grocery store and I want you to grab so-and-so, but whatever you do, don't forget this one thing. So this expression, one thing, is used throughout our daily practice of life. One thing I found was in the scriptures, we see this phrase as well. And we're going to take a look at this afternoon some of these instances that they're used in the Bible, this phrase, one thing. And the first one we're going to look at is in Psalms 27 and verse 4. It says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." The one thing David desired above all else was to dwell in the house of the Lord. We find, we'll look at it a little bit later, but in Psalms 122 and verse 1, that this was a joyful experience. This was something that he looked forward to. This was a place of worship where he got to worship and spend time with his God. It wasn't a boring routine. It wasn't something that we just come to on Sunday mornings or Sunday afternoons just because, you know, we're expected to be. It's not somewhere because if I don't come, someone's going to be calling me, and it's just going to be easier to go to services rather than stay at home and get that phone call. It wasn't this case at all. It was a joyful experience. There are times many of us come to church already mad, maybe a husband and wife on the way, you know, arguing and already in a bad mood. And sometimes we're upset with someone that we can't remember the reason why we're upset with them, but we just know that we're right and we're going to hold to our beliefs there. But with these scenarios, we understand we don't have that desire like David had. And that's what we need to get to. We need to have that desire because this is the place of worship and it should be a joyful experience. David desired to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, he says. You know, many people today, sadly, would rather live in a state of sin. They would rather follow error. We're told in Jeremiah 5 and verse 31, they'd rather live and follow sin than follow the Word of God. We find here also that David desired the beauty, to behold the beauty of the Lord. You know, so many today desire other beauties, the beauty of nature. You know, we have a lot of people that are out today. It's a beautiful day, it's sunshine and good weather. How many people are out on the golf course or maybe fishing or hiking? And in their mind, they're thinking, you know, how great of a creation that God has made. But where should they be focused at? They should be focused on praising and worshiping God. I'd like to look at Psalms 144, is verse 15. I've got two scriptures I'd like to look at that are close to each other in Psalms 144. We're going to be reading verse 15. "Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Over in Psalms 146 and verse 5, it says something very similar. It says, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." We as Christians should be the happiest people there is today. It doesn't mean we're going to have the best of everything and we're not going to have trials and tribulations, but we're happy because we have God on our side. So we can see and we can gather that David had his priorities right. He knew that a right relationship with God brought happiness, brought this true, genuine happiness that God was on his side. Where do we stand today in our desire for worship? Do we say with David in Psalms 122 and verse 1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord"? Or is it, "I was glad when they said, you know, let's go to the ball game," or "let's go fishing, let's go hiking"? We need to look deep down in ourselves and find out what is our desire for worship. This is something we need to do this next coming week. We've got a gospel meeting. What is our desire going to be? Are we going to have the desire to be here each and every night? Or are we going to put softball games or soccer games or other things that make us happy? Are we going to put those as our desire? We need to build more interest in spiritual things. And we also need to do our own part. We all each and individually have a part to do to making our worship service enjoyable, edifying, and desirable. Do we have that same thought of one thing we'd have desired is to dwell in the house of the Lord? The next thing I want to look at is in Mark 10. If you'll turn there, we're going to read a few scriptures there in Mark 10. We're told here of one thing we can lack. We're going to start reading in verse 17 through verse 21. Mark 10, 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, but do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up your cross, and follow me." This man measured up unusually well. He had kept the commandments from his youth, he says. He had a strong interest in the gaining eternal life. However, he lacked one thing. And Jesus, being Jesus, knowing the hearts of every man, knew that one thing that he lacked. This man's problem wasn't his desire. It wasn't the knowledge of what he should do. His problem was the love of money. It was the love of wealth and love of possessions. What about us? What are some things that we might lack in our life? We all have a problem of some sort that we need to work on and get stronger for Christ. Maybe it's the habit of smoking. Maybe it's the habit of drinking. Maybe abusing prescription drugs. Maybe it's the control of our minds. Maybe, just like this man, maybe we have much thought in money. Maybe it's sports. Something that takes over our thoughts and keeps us from doing what we need to do for God. It may be the obedience to the gospel. If you're not a Christian tonight, certainly the Lord would say, one thing you lack. If you would turn to John 9. We'll move on to the next one. John 9, verse 18. We're not going to read this whole chapter, but looking up, starting with verse 1, we see there was a man who had been blinded from his birth, and he sat at the gates, and everyone knew this man. They knew that he had been blind. And Jesus walked by and gave him sight. And we're going to start in verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" His parents answered and said to them, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, and the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner." And he answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I can see." Here in this reading, we see that the once blind man was questioned regarding the things that had transpired. We see where Jesus of Nazareth had healed him and gave him sight. And the Jews accused Jesus of being a sinner. However, the once blind man testified that he didn't know who this Jesus was or where he came from or what powers he had and what authority, but he did know one thing. He knew that he was blind and now he could see. And as a result of being healed, he went on to demonstrate great things. Some of us here may not be the most knowledgeable one. We may not have strong knowledge of scriptures. But being convicted of this fact, we know that one thing is so. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And being convicted of that fact, we will live a life according to His will. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, we're going to read verses 11 through 14. We see here that Jesus is the Lord of our lives, and we have and need to continually confess His name. 1 Timothy 6, 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And while we got our Bibles handy, let's turn to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold our profession. You know, we are like the blind man. We have many similarities. We were in darkness, meaning that we were blinded by our own sins. But because we have the light of life through Jesus Christ, we now can see. And it is very clear to us that the one thing we need to know, Jesus has made known to us. And this is the foundation of our belief that He is the Christ, the Son of the God, or Son of God. Let's look at Luke 10. We'll move on. We've now looked at one thing I've desired, one thing we lack, one thing I know. Now we want to look at one thing is needful. Heath texted me the other day and asked me what scripture I want read for tonight, and I told him it really didn't matter because I was going in a lot of different directions. Never would have thought he would actually pick the one I was going to be using out of all the scriptures, but I appreciate Jeff for reading that. Luke 10, starting with verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And before we go too much further, we see here that Martha was trying to be that good hostess. She was trying to be hospitable. She was trying to be the woman that she was. And she complained because Mary was not helping out. She was not being a helpful person to her, to where they can serve the meal to Jesus. But how did Jesus reply in verse 41 and 42? He said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. This one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which should not be taken away from her. Mary was wise enough to know what was important. She knew that Jesus was here in front of her, and she needed to soak in as much as she could while he was around. You know, this is one of three times that Mary is mentioned in the Bible at being at Jesus' feet. She had her priorities correct. She knew who he was and what she needed to do. There is no doubt that the preparing of meals is important to take care of our physical bodies. You know, we're supposed to be good stewards of everything we have, and there's a lot of physical things that we need to do. But nothing is as important as feasting on the Word of God. I once heard of a preacher that visited a congregation one Sunday and preached for them, and he got wind that one of the ladies had stayed home from services so she could prepare a meal for this visiting preacher. Once he got wind of that, he refused to go to her house, you know, knowing that where was the priority there? It wasn't on serving God. It was just to show how well of a cook she was. So he took the stand and refused to go to her house. And that's a lesson she probably will never forget. And I admire his courage for taking a stand like that. Many of us fail to put the Lord first in our lives. Like Martha, we are worried and troubled about many things. And Luke 8 tells us that the cares of this world will choke out the Word of God. Sometimes we are worried about things that are out of our control, or things that, you know, only God can take care of. So let not the cares of this world choke out the Word of God. If we're concerned about too much of worldly things, what do you think Christ would say to us today? He would say, Jason, one thing is needful. Choose you this day that part that cannot be taken away from you. The last point I want to look at tonight is one thing I do. In Philippians 3, I want to read verses 13 and 14. It says, Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And also I want to look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. I'll read that real quickly here. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. It says, Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. We find in these passages that Paul encourages us to imitate him, not because who Paul is and not to build up his ego, but just he says simply to follow him and imitate him because he follows and imitates Christ. One thing about Paul that is encouraging to me is that he forgot about his past. You know, many of us know Paul and knew his past. We knew that he was the very man that tried to destroy the church that God was trying to build. He forgot about his past, and he says he reached forth and tried to work on it and think about those things which laid ahead. When Paul wrote this, he was old and he was a prisoner of Rome. He had accomplished many things in his life for the Lord, but yet he still wanted to do more. You know, think about that. Because of all the accomplishments we may have in our life, there's still more that needs to be done and that we can be doing. I want to take a few moments and just, you know, think to yourself as we go through these, but what are some things that maybe we need to forget in our life so that we can reach forward and be more obedient to God? Some of the things I was kind of thinking of, this is kind of a quick thing, is maybe we need to forget one's denominational religion, the former one. Maybe there's something that we know what's right and we try to try to get past that and be obedient to God, but there's something we're just hanging on to because it's more for us rather than for God. It's something that makes us feel good about ourselves. The next one is we kind of talked about this a little bit earlier, but maybe we need to forget past hurts. Someone has done us wrong and we can't let that go. I was talking to a buddy the other day, you know, you think of some of the worst things that could happen to you in life, and I know with me it would probably be with my family or my kids if someone hurt them, and I'm told to forgive them. How hard would that be? But we were talking, and the example came out that this is exactly what Jesus did for all of us. You know, so if I in my mind say I can't forget someone that's hurt me, God can, so I can too. Maybe we need to forget past mistakes that we made in our lives. Some people, you'll hear this a lot in life, where, you know, I can't be saved through baptism because all the bad things I've done in life. You would never believe how bad I've been in my life. We've got plenty of examples, Paul being the greatest one in my mind, that we can we still have the opportunity to be saved, no matter what mistakes we've made in our life. We need to press forward and move on. And sometimes it's past accomplishments. You know, we talked about this in our Bible study this morning in the young adults class, where some people will get in their minds and get tied up with the works that they've done in the past, and we're told to let that go. You know, we need to not be hung up on our past accomplishments and think that we're done. There's more that we can do. There's many scriptures like Luke 13 where it tells us that many will seek to enter, yet there will be few there. So we too, like Paul, we should strive with great diligence to reach that mark. And finally, we're told in 2 Peter 1, if we do these things, that we will never stumble. Today we've learned some spiritual applications of a simple phrase or expression, one thing. And if we examine ourselves by these things, we will be able in our dying day, be as Paul in 2 Timothy 4, where he says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Have you fought the fight the best you could? Are you certain that there is a crown laid up for you in heaven? And if not, why are you not making changes today? One other thing I thought about was in 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 13, that it talks about that we not be ignorant of this one thing. The Lord is coming. But when? It talks about Him coming back as a thief in the night. So are we looking for and hastening the day of His returning? And if we are, what worry will we have when that time comes? If there's any changes that need to make in your life, need to be known to us this evening, we'd ask that you come forward as together we stand and sing.